Our scripture text this evening, I'd like to invite you to turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, where we'll be reading verses 37 through 39. That can be found on page 1137 in your pew Bibles, 1137 in your pew Bibles. Some of you may be wondering if we can actually end here in 30 minutes, knowing that I'm preaching tonight. But I do teach preaching down at the seminary, and I have to train my students to give 15 to 17 minute sermons for chapel. So I've got to do the same thing tonight. I hope I can meet it. But we're going to just meditate on these three verses in the Gospel of John. I think Titus will be referencing these later in the meeting that follows. But just to give us God's word to dwell upon, let me read to you John 7, 37 through 39. Hear the word of the Lord. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray once again. Father, we do ask in these moments that you would help us to feel the power of these words in our own lives as a congregation of your people. And so, by your Spirit, we pray that you would bless us during this time. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Jesus is crying out here with an offer that the church so desperately needs today. And so I hope you will hear the heart cry of your Savior. It had been quite a week for Jesus. The feast referenced here is the Feast of Booths. It's somewhat similar to what we've just gone through. It was a holiday week, really, in the land of Israel. It came right after the Jewish New Year's Day, the Day of Atonement. And it was a week when the people of God gathered in Israel and commemorated how God had brought them out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness those 40 years into the promised land. And the city would have been filled with people because they were to come and basically have a church camp out in Jerusalem. They were to take sticks and palm branches and construct these little booths and live in those for a week just to remember how God had sustained them as they journeyed through the wilderness. And it had been quite a week for Jesus. It had started off with him being taunted by his brothers. "Why don't you go on down to Jerusalem, big guy? Show them that you're the Messiah. Show them who you are. Show them your power." But Jesus resisted that temptation. And instead he quietly went down and participated in the activities of the week. And as occasion and opportunity arose, he preached quietly the kingdom of God. But of course, every time our Lord began to preach, it got attention. And the leaders began to hear what he was preaching. And once again, they began hurling their accusations against him. He's got a demon. He's trying to overthrow the kingdom. And on it went. And there began to arise death plots on his life. And so it's quite incredible that we come to this text this evening on the last day of the feast, knowing our Lord's reticence to draw too much attention to himself, but that he's driven to cry out like he did. And there was something going on right at this time that I think created this. The trumpets had sounded. The priests had come into the temple with their palm branches, and they'd marched around the altar. And then they took a golden pitcher and they went down to the pool of Siloam and they brought water out. And the previous days they had brought this water out and poured it out as a libation. But this time, this last great day, they were just going to put it there in the temple as a desire, express desire of the people of God. Because the people had been reciting verses out of Isaiah that accompanied this ritual. Isaiah 12, verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. They also chanted Isaiah 44, 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty, floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, blessing on your offspring. And that picture was there as a visual of that prayer of God's people, give us of your spirit. Jesus, seeing this, is moved. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. And from your inmost being, rivers of living water shall flow. Are you listening to our Lord's heart cry? If you are, I think you can answer these three other questions. Very simple questions. Quite straightforwardly, if so. The first one is this. Are you thirsting? Are you thirsting? You see, Jesus is crying out here to get our attention. Is anyone thirsty? Does anyone thirst? And see, again, when Jesus cries out like this, it should really get our attention because he didn't do this very often. Cry out, that is. So often his ministry was in quieter places. It wasn't in the center of Jerusalem. And yes, he preached publicly and he healed publicly, but he always did it in a way to try to downplay what he was doing. And humility. And gentleness and quietness. So for him to cry out here, something significant has to be going on. He cried out at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. He cried out at the cross when he yielded up his spirit. But we really don't have record of him crying out. Except here in Jerusalem. He'd done it up in verse 26. He had cried out against their lies concerning him. Jesus cried out in the temple teaching and saying, you both know me, know where I'm from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. And as the crowds became more desirous to take his life, he speaks these chilling words of judgment right before this text in verse 34. You will seek me, and you will not find me. For where I am, you cannot come. He knew the hearts of the people. And he knew many of them were not listening to him. They were rejecting his message. They were rejecting his person. But in the midst of all of that rejection, he raises his voice once again and he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me. Come to me. The Bible speaks of thirst. When our Lord speaks of thirst, it means that a person has come to the realization that his heart was designed to be satisfied by one object and one object only. And that is God. As the psalmist says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. A person who is thirsting in this sense is a person who's come to the realization that all the idols in the world, with all their promises, are empty. They never satisfy your thirst. They just leave you thirsting for more. It's like someone who's been shipwrecked, floating around in the ocean for a while, dying of thirst, and the only water he sees is what he's floating on, and he drinks that seawater. It's just going to kill him. It's not going to satisfy him. It's not going to take away his thirst. And that's the way this world is. But Jesus says that if your thirst is for him, you'll be satisfied. Like he said on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For me, they shall be satisfied. We should always be, in a sense, thirsty for Christ. Hungry for Christ. Coming to worship, hungry for the Lord. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? And second, are you drinking? It's just natural. You're thirsty and you should be you're drinking. He says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Again, this is so direct from our Lord. Usually he was more subtle. Usually he was speaking in parables. But he's in the midst of all of this hostility. He's wanting to make sure that his people listen to him and get what they need from him. He wanted to make it clear that to drink of him is to believe in him to supply all that your soul needs. He's equating the drinking with the believing in him. In verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He'd already taught this in this gospel. Back in John 4, when he meets that woman at the well, he asks her for some water. And then he says, I have some water. If you drink from this water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never need to go anywhere else or any other source, because this water will supply all that you need. He provoked her interest. And she said, give me this water. And it took some time for him to get her there. But eventually, again, he speaks directly to this poor woman, this poor sinner. He says, what you need? It's me. It's me. Are you believing in Jesus? I don't mean just, yeah, you know who he is and you know what he's done. But is he your life? Is he supplying everything that you need? As we heard this morning, is all of your contentment found in Christ and Christ alone? And that you go to him with all your needs, knowing that he has this water, this well of water that springs up to eternal life. Are you like the psalmist who says in Psalm 63, God, you're my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've seen your power and your glory. Your love, it's better than life, and so my lips give praise unto you. Are you at rest in Jesus? Believing that he and he alone can supply all that you need for life and salvation. And then the final part of the question. Are you flowing? Are you flowing? Are the words of verse 38 experiential to you? It says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And in case we don't understand what that means, John's very helpful here in verse 39 to give us this commentary on it. We don't have to go to some other commentary. We can just read what John tells us it means. He's talking about his Holy Spirit. That God's people are to be those who possess his Holy Spirit. And the amazing and incredible thing about the age of the church, the age in which you are now living, is not that the Holy Spirit wasn't at all present in the Old Testament age. He's mentioned over 400 times in the Old Testament. So put that idea out of your mind that the Holy Spirit wasn't even around during the Old Testament. But what's being spoken of here is a greater revelation has been given to you. You know Christ. You know Jesus. And a deeper, abiding experience is available to all the people of God because the Holy Spirit has been sent upon the church, as Acts 2, Pentecost testifies to. And so every Christian believer can experience rivers of water coming forth from their own hearts, as Jesus says. Isn't that amazing? You're thirsty and you drink and then you become a river. That's what He's promising. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In this world of hatred, He can fill us with a great love that cannot be conquered. In this world with such upheaval and turmoil, politically, nationally, wars, we can have a peace that does not depend on the circumstances in which we find ourselves. When we are wrong, when we have to wait a long time, God can give us a patience that can conquer all of those difficulties. When our enemies mistreat us, when people say unkind things about us, we can return that with kindness and love. We can show people a goodness that's truly genuine, a faithfulness that perseveres despite whatever trial that we may face. In this angry world, we can turn the other cheek and we can show people a gentleness that comes from heaven above. And in a world that seems so out of control, we can exhibit a self-control, a governing of our own lives to the glory of God. And that's just the tip of the Spirit's iceberg. He can supply anything that we need if only we'll go to God through His Son and ask. That's the gift that Christ has given to His church, is the Spirit of God. So are you listening to His heart cry? Remember that last heart cry. He's on the cross and He yielded up His Spirit. And He died so that you could have fullness of life in Him. Are you thirsty? Are you drinking? And are you full? Let's pray to that end. Father, as we come before You this evening, sense that we need to once again ask You to forgive us. Because we collectively confess that often what Your Son says in His Word, we simply just don't believe. We know He says these rivers can flow, yet we doubt it. We don't have faith like we ought to have. And so we ask You to forgive us of that and help us to look earnestly, longingly to Your Son and expect that He will bless us greatly with new measures of Your Holy Spirit. Hear our prayers, O Lord. We ask them through Your Son. Amen.